There are 39 milahot, which constitute forms of work forbidden on the Sabbath. It's the why behind the way we do the things we do. Join Rabbi Moshe Schnurb now for Hilchos Shabbos, only on 101.9 Chai FM.
By nine, Chai FM. This is Soul to Soul on your radio. Erev Shabbos Kedush, Parshas Kisavai Tov Shin Pei, at the penultimate Shabbos of this beautiful, beautiful year. And a very, very warm welcome to all of our radio family. Thank you, thank you, thank you so much for taking the time on a busy Friday to be with us, to perhaps learn a bit, to be inspired a bit, to maybe learn something you didn't know. And Be'ez Hashem will be able to use at your Shabbos table or to enhance and make this the most beautiful Shabbos ever. As usual, the show today is sponsored as a Refu Shlema for various Cholim, amongst them Elio Yochanan ben Shenatema, Yosef Gershon ben Taiba, Yehuda Hillel Levi ben Shulam Isleya, Chaim Alexander Gershon HaKohen ben Fredo, and Shulamis Bas Devoira, Shulamis Leah Bas Asna, Tzivia Bas Elka, Etka, Michal Chava Bas Fega Aviva, Besoich Shar Choli Yisrael, amongst all those who need Refuas, all those who need the intervention of our Kodesh Baruch, whatever it might be. May there be zech and the zechus of the Torah we learned today and the zechus of us getting ready for another beautiful Shabbos Kodesh, which we're going to do the best we can to keep it 100%. So therefore they should receive all the refuas, all the yeshuas, all the nechamas that they could possibly need. We have especially in mind those who were wounded in the terrible attack this week. Especially they should all have a refu shlema. Next week, we're going to be saying Slichos. We start actually on Moitzei Shabbos, or Sunday morning. We start with Slichos. Let's talk a little bit today about what Slichos is about. There's an amazing story that Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky once related, that he happened to make acquaintance, to know a certain Jew who was very, very far from Torah and from mitzvahs. In other words, he almost didn't know anything about Judaism at all. But, as amazing as it might sound, there were two psukim from the Torah that he knew very, very well, actually by heart. The first one is, Uvo alecho kol haklalei seireh, all these curses will come upon you. Urdafucha, they will chase you. Visigucha, they'll catch up to you. Why? Tachas asher lo yavadetos Hashem lokecha, on account of the fact that you didn't serve Hashem your God b'simcha, with joy over tuv levav, with a good heart, meiroiv ko, when you had everything. These two psukim, of course, would come from our weekly parsha this week. Those he knew, these two psukim, amongst anything else that he knew, and nothing else. Rav Yaakov was amazed. How did he know these psukim? And from the whole Torah, the entire Torah, those are the only psukim that he knew. The only those, not anything else, not even Shema Yisrael. So the Yids actually told him, says that he went through went through all the awesome, fearful parts of the incredible war, and he saw terrible, frightening things, right?
If you used up as much paper as the world, as there was no world, you'd use up the paper and you wouldn't actually finish talking about the horrors that he saw. But there's one vision one scene that was actually fixed in his memory and will never ever leave his mind forever. And it was an awesome and terrible and frightful vision that he had to witness in one of the terrible Machanot Hashmada, one of the death camps in Eastern Europe in 1941. We'll come back in a moment and we'll tell you the story. This is 101.9 Chai FM. The program is Soul to Soul. Stay with us. We're coming right back.
This is Hilchos Shabbos with Rabbi Moshe Schnurb, only on 101.9 Chai FM.
101.9 Chai FM, back on your radio. Erev Shabbos Kodesh, Parshas Kisavoy Tov Shin Peye, the penultimate Shabbos of this amazing, amazing year that we've gone through. And we're talking about this young man that Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky met, who knew two psukim, and he knew them by heart. And he told him this terrible, terrible story that had brought this about. He says he was in one of the terrible, terrible death camps of the cursed Nazis, Yimach Shemom Zichram. And he, with his own eyes, saw them, these Rishoyim, one day. They picked on a young man, a frum man, and just for absolutely no reason, they grabbed him, and they took him, and they loaded him on his back. Incredibly, incredibly heavy burdens, things that no human being can really, really even manage to carry. And they commanded him to go up this nearby mountain and come down and go up and come down, and all the time carrying these terrible, terribly heavy burdens. And they stood there, you know, and kind of watched him, as they say, with seven eyes to make sure he didn't stop for a moment, to make sure he didn't deviate even for one moment from the path. And this young Avreich, this young a scholar, went up the mountain, went down the mountain, went up the mountain, went down the mountain with incredible superhuman type of strength. And as he was walking, his face was burning like a glowing coal. And he was saying out loud with tremendous, tremendous fervor and tremendous, tremendous passion, these two psukim. Says, "V'uvoyu alecha, and it will come upon you, kol ha'klolei seire, all these curses, urdafucha, they will chase after you, v'sigucha, and they will catch up to you, adi shamdach, until they destroy you. Tachas, this is all on account of, asher lo yavadatos Hashem nekecha, you didn't serve Hashem your God, b'simcha, with joy, over tuv lev love, and with a full heart, meirov kol, at the time when you had everything." And he was trumpeting these psukim as he went up and he was down. In other words, he understood that there was a reason why this was happening, and why it was happening to him. And he accepted upon himself the judgment of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he repeated these psukim over and over again. And the man told Rav Yaakov, these psukim became indelibly etched into his mind. And even years, decades after the event had occurred, he could never ever forget these psukim. And this incredible, incredible person, who of course was actually the Sanz Kloisenberger Rebbe, later became, who accepted upon himself the judgment of HaKadosh Baruch Hu with love, and with his greatness, he was able to understand that for himself, the reason why all these terrible things were happening to him was because somehow in his own service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in the own way, he felt that he had not kind of invested enough joy, enough happiness in his service, in his service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You know, we daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to the master of all the worlds, and we should, we daven, please God, we should never know any pain. We should never know any real suffering, chas v'shalom. But from this story, we learn the greatness of the obligation to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu with a tremendous sense of joy and a full heart. In any situation where we find ourselves, a person has to make an effort to do whatever he's doing and inject into it this attribute of simcha, which is such a basic and fundamental concept in the ways of our service HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right? As the Pasuk says, Simcha v'Hashem, rejoice in God, the Gilu Tzadikim, and let the righteous ones rejoice. V'haninu kol yisher lev, and all those who have a straight heart will sing in praise and joy to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, we know that Sfardim have already started saying Slichot from Rosh Chodesh Elul, and we are going to please God start Motzei Shabbos or Sunday morning. And of course, these Slichas that we say are incredibly, incredibly holy and of course, very, very important. In fact, the Shari Tshuva writes in his commentary on the Shulchan Aruch, quoting the Chidah in Birkei Yosef, where he says that it's very, very important in these days to increase Slichot and beseech HaKadosh Baruch Hu together with the community, that we should all stand together. And he brings even further the name of the Chidah, that he saw some Rabbonim that were always busy learning Halacha and Gemara, and in the month of Elul, they gave up a little bit of their time from their learning to intensify their davening, their saying of Tehillim, and their begging and beseeching of HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the future. The Duvna Magid in the Sefer Mishle Yaakov brings a beautiful mashal, beautiful analogy to explain why do we come before Rosh Hashanah and start saying all these slichot, right, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he brings that analogy to a businessman who purchased for his precious son a beautiful, beautiful, very expensive garment. And he warned him very, very much, don't get this garment dirty because, you know, I spent so much money on it. Please look after it properly. But of course, the son was a fool. He wasn't careful at all and didn't even think about where he was going and what he was doing. And he fell into a pit full of mud and stuff like that. And the entire garment, this expensive garment, got completely, completely dirty. The son was very frightened and said, what's his father going to do to him when he finds out what had happened? And he had no doubt that his father was going to get so angry at him and probably punish him very, very severely, particularly when his father heard that he wasn't careful at all where he was going, and virtually it was a wanton act of carelessness that he went into a place where there was all this mud and stuff. And he was so scared, he didn't know what to do at all, and he could find no rest for himself. What are we going to do now? So,
a good friend of his came to him with an incredibly good suggestion. He says, don't wait until your father hears about this story from other people. No, because they're going to tell him exactly how you weren't careful, how you showed no concern for this expensive garment that he made such an effort, and he spent so much money on it. And there's no doubt that then your father is going to get so angry at you, and he's going to come looking for you to punish you in any way that he can. Rather, run and go to him straight away and tell him, even before he even manages to hear about this terrible story from someone else, and cry in front of him and tell him with great pain and with great sorrow that you fell with the garment into this dirt, and how upset you are about this amazing, beautiful a cloak that is now sort of so dirty and has lost its beautiful appearance. And I'm sure that at that time, your father will have tremendous mercy on you and will actually forgive you for what you've done. We're going to take a break now and come back right afterwards and talk about the nimshel, the lesson of the story of the Dovna Maggid. This is 101.9 Chai FM. The program is Soul to Soul. We'll be back in a moment.
This is Hilchos Shabbos with Rabbi Moshe Schnurb, only on 101.9 Chai FM.
101.9 Chai FM, this is Soul to Soul, back on the radio. Erev Shabbos, Kodesh, Parshas, Kisavoy, Tav, Shin, Pei, Hey. We are talking about the Slichot that the Sfarim have already begun saying, and we, please God, are going to start saying on Moshe Shabbos or Sunday morning. And we're talking about why we say Slichos at all. And we're discussing the analogy of the Dovna Maggid about the son who was given this really, really expensive coat by his father that he really put effort into getting. And the son, of course, being a child, didn't care and got it all dirty. And now he was absolutely mortified of what his father was going to do to him. So a friend of his gave him the advice, don't wait until your father finds out, because when he finds out, he's going to hear the worst version of how careless you were and how stupid you were, and he's going to come after you and he's going to really punish you. Rather, run ahead, go to your father right now and tell him exactly what you did, cry a bit, show real penitence, show sort of that you really are sorry about what you've done, and I'm sure that your father will forgive you. And that's, in fact, the advice the son followed. He ran to his father and he started crying with real, real tears on this terrible, this sad story that happened to him, and how pained he is about this beautiful, beautiful garment that became so dirty and in the dirt. And the father, of course, couldn't stand to see his dear son crying, and he quickly took a towel and sort of dried all of his tears off his cheeks. And he comforted the son. And with nice words, and he said to him, don't worry. And he sort of appeased him, said, don't worry, we'll take it to the dry cleaner. We'll get it clean. And don't worry, within a couple of days, you'll have the beautiful garment back. Right? And it'll be as good as new. Right? Won't have any stains on it at all. And of course, the nimshel, the lesson, is self-explanatory. Kodesh Baruch Hu has given us a expensive, a holy, a perfect, beautiful neshama, a soul. And of course, because we're so foolish, we of course didn't treat it properly. We didn't look after it as we should have looked after it. And, you know, we weren't careful enough. We didn't stay away from things that we should not have looked at, things we should not have eaten, things we should not have spoken, things we should not have been involved in. And of course, it's no wonder then that we've now besmirched ourselves with all types of sin. And of course, there's no one to blame but us. And now,
How are we going to go to our Father in heaven and bring to him this neshama that is so dirty, that is so stained, that doesn't look anything as the pure, pristine soul that Hashem gave us when we began our life on this earth? There's no other way we can do it. We can't wait until Rosh Hashanah, because then the Satan's going to come and he's going to have all kinds of accusations against us. And he's going to tell Hashem about all the terrible, terrible things that we did in the past year. And he's going to describe it and depict it in the most terrible, terrible way, that of course it's going to cause HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be so angry at us when he describes in gory detail every single sin, every single despicable act that we did during the whole year. The only way we can avoid it is we have to run ourselves to our Father in heaven, and we have to tell him ourselves all the terrible things that we did, and we have to cry in front of Hashem and admit and come clean and say, yes, we've fallen and we've dirtied our neshama with terrible sins and terrible indiscretions, and we have total regret on that. And then for sure that is going to arouse the tremendous mercy of HaKadosh Baruch Hu for us, and he will forgive us for all of our sins, because, you know, as it says, Ki yaminoi pshuta lekabel shavim, Hashem's right hand is outstretched to receive and to welcome back and to hug those who are repenting and coming back to him. And that's what we do during these days of Slichot. We run ahead to come to the King even before Rosh Hashanah, which is the day of judgment. We get up early in the morning, which is a special time of mercy and compassion before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And we gather together in our shuls, in our Batei Midrash, to pour out our tefillah, our prayer, before our Father, who's our shepherd, who's the Melech, Malchi, Amlokam, the King of all kings. And we cry in front of him on how we've fallen into the mud and how we've besmirched ourselves, and to try to arouse the mercy of HaKadosh Baruch Hu on us. But it goes without saying, therefore, that we need to pay careful attention to the words we're saying, right? That they shouldn't just be, you know, we're pressing the button and doing our lip service to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because if the purpose of saying Slichas is to beg HaKadosh Baruch Hu for forgiveness and to wipe the slate clean, right? And we want HaKadosh Baruch Hu to do that. So if we don't have proper intention, if we don't have proper concentration in the words that we're saying from our mouth, what purpose is there in what we're saying? And the Sefer Yisoid V'Shoresh Avoda already spoke about this at great length, and he says, my brothers, my friends, we need to know something very, very, very important from the very, very outset, that those who want to call out to Hashem, and we call it slichot, we call it our repentances, it's called that because with them we try to invoke the mercy and the compassion of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and to grant us a sort of a stay on all the sins that we've done. And we're asking Hashem that he should forgive us. Now he says, certainly every single man, every single woman who will come to the King of the world to ask him to be forgiven for his sins. So of course, if he comes without having done a sincere repentance, right, before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, So what strength does he have? All he's doing, he can daven for a very, very long time. And he can ask, you pound his breast, asking Hashem to forgive himself. But can it work if a person doesn't also do a true and real repentance? Right? We know. We ask ourselves, right? Did you say slichos? And you say, yeah, sure I did. I already said slichos. But you don't actually even pay attention, right? What was the purpose? How well did you say it? Did you concentrate? Halavai, that we should say the slichos properly. And it's impossible to complete the process of asking Hashem for forgiveness without doing tshuva. And therefore he says, a person should make every effort at the time when he's saying sluchas to accept in his heart that he's going to come back. He's going to do a complete tshuva. In other words, to completely regret all the things that he's done in the past and to make undertakings, to make a Kabbalah for the future. But it's quite amazing if you look at the service of the slichas, that not in so much by the Ashkenazim, but by the Sfarim, it's especially pointed that they sing when they sing the slichas, right? Especially the one piyut, Adonai Slichot, they all sing together. And it seems it sounds like a little more sense to say it with crying and beseeching, not a joyful song sung in unison. Now, in order to truly understand this, and it's something that we need to really understand, we'll learn together for a moment a Gemara in Rosh Hashanah on page 16a, which brings, Imru lefonai b'reish Hashanah malchus, zichronos v'shofros. Say before me on Rosh Hashanah the three parts of the Musaf Shemoneh Esrei. Malchus, declaring Hashem's kingship. Zichronos, that Hashem remembers everything. And v'shofros, and we do it through the shofar. And we say Malchus, we say, Ramon Hashem is king, kidei shetamlichuni alechem, so that you shall crown me, coronate me, as a king over you. Zichronos, the remembrances that your memories, good memories about you, should come before us, before Hashem. And how do we do it? By means of the shofar. Amar Rav Avo says, why do we specifically blow with the shofar that comes from a ram? Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, blow before me with the shofar of a ram in order that I should remember the Akedat Yitzchak, the binding of Yitzchak, the son of Avram. And I will consider it as if you bound yourself up before me. So we see that the great benefit of blowing the shofar on Rosh Hashanah is to arouse the merit of Akedat Yitzchak for the entire Jewish nation. But let's come back to where we started. And we started talking about the obligation to do mitzvot, not just to fulfill obligation, but to do them and to inject with them a level of simcha, a level of joy when we're fulfilling mitzvahs. And when we fulfill a mitzvah in a state of joy, when any yid fulfills a mitzvah in a state of happiness, he shows HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he's not just doing this because he's forced to, like a servant who's forced to serve his master, but like a ben, like a son, who's overjoyed to do the will of his father. And now, of course, you can understand perhaps why saying slichas needs to be said, not necessarily in a crying voice, but in a voice full of joy. Because tshuva is effective only for sons and not for slaves. Because a father, Allah says, a father who forgoes his own honor, he has the right to do that. However, a king has no right to forgo his honor. If he tries to, it doesn't work. It doesn't work at all. Because it's actually not even his honor, it's the honor of the whole nation. And by saying slichas with a tune, with joy, we show HaKadosh Baruch Hu our tremendous happiness in fulfilling his mitzvah, including this mitzvah of doing tshuva. And we're like the son who sinned to our father, and we come running to him and sort of bear out our heart in front of him. And for sure, the father is going to relent on his honor and forgive us, accept his tshuva. Perhaps also we can explain further the need of doing tshuva, but not in a state of depression, but in a state of joy. Because wherever there is sadness, so that's where the Yetzer Hara hangs out. The Yetzer Hara likes to be around people who are broken and depressed. And therefore, we no longer have any motivation to do anything, and we don't get any divine help. We don't get any Siyata Dishmaya. And therefore, we actually can't do tshuva properly in a state of sadness and depression. The Ter Shleima, in his essays on Rosh Hashanah, says that a person needs to raise himself up, that he should come to a level of simcha and not worry about Rosh Hashanah, right? Because if you worry, then that's going to bring you to a state of sadness and bitterness and sort of a black depression, Rachmanu Litzlan, we should be saved. And we know that Rav Chaim Vital says in his book, Ashari Kedusha, that the whole concept of the terrible poison that was injected into every single human being by the primeval snake, right, that he put into Chava and all her descendants, that poison is the attribute of sadness. And therefore, a person has to be so careful about it. As it says, in fact, in the Siddur of the Arizal, person has to remove himself, all despair, all sighing. Right? And that's referring to this Yetzer Hara. That's the greatest win he can have about us, because that brings a person to sadness, and then the Yetzer Hara comes running after him to sort of seek his soul and to bring punishment upon a person. The Gemara actually in Maseches Yuma on Daf 67 brings, you know, that when they did the service on Yom Kippur, so how did they know that their service was acceptable? So there was a piece of material that they tied actually inside or just outside the Beis HaMikdash on Yom Kippur. And the Gemara in fact says, Tanu Rabbanan, our rabbis taught us, Barishayna, originally, Hayakayshin Lashon Shazuris, they tied this tongue-shaped material, Al Pesach Ulam, by the opening of the antechamber of the Beis HaMikdash, Mibachutz on the outside. And if it turned white, which is a symbol of forgiveness, everyone was happy. If it didn't turn white, everyone was upset and embarrassed. So in fact, they changed the decree, Shayukoshin Al Pesach Ulami Bifnim. They actually changed it, and they hung it on the inside of the entrance to the Beis HaMikdash. And still, people were looking and trying to see it. And if it was white, they were happy. If it didn't turn white, It was sad. So finally, they changed it a third time. And they made a decree that they would tie it half on a rock and half between the horns of the goat that was thrown off, the Azazel that was thrown off the cliff. And the question is, we're talking about the most incredible day of the year, of Yom Kippur itself, which is the special time for tshuva more than any other time during the year. And if so, what would be the problem if people would be sad and be embarrassed about the sins they did? On the contrary, wouldn't that be a really great thing? Surely, I would imagine that the more sad, the more upset, the more embarrassed they would be, that would sort of motivate them to do even a better, higher level of tshuva and sort of take advantage of those holy hours of Yom Kippur to strengthen themselves more and more and do more and more tshuva. So how come they wanted to hide that piece of material so that people should not see it? Why do they see it as such a problem that the tzibur should be upset if it didn't turn white? So from here we see that tshuva that's done out of a state of sadness and sort of a black depression is not actually worth anything, because it's impossible to do tshuva, a real tshuva, only when a person is in a state of simcha, of joy. The Ariyah HaKadosh writes in the Shah Ruach HaKadosh, says, this need of sadness in itself is a terrible, terrible attribute. And particularly, if someone wants to attain wisdom and a high level of relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's nothing that can stop a person from attaining what he wants to attain, even if he would be actually deserving of it, like someone who has this midah of sadness. And the proof of that is that how did they merit to receive the divine inspiration of God? Only with simcha, only with great joy. As it says by Elisha, he said, bring me an instrument, bring me music, so that I can be in a state of exalted happiness and then get prophecy. Okay, we're going to come back and round it off in the next segment. This is 101.9 Chai FM, the program is Soul to Soul. Please stay with us. There's much, much more coming.
This is Hilchos Shabbos with Rabbi Moshe Schnurb, only on 101.9 Chai FM.
101.9 Chai FM, this is Soul to Soul, back on the radio. Erev Shabbos Kodesh, Parshas Ki Savoy Tov Shin Pei Hei, second to the last Shabbos of this amazing, amazing year. Baruch Hashem, still 10 days to go until we stand before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And we're talking exactly about that. We're talking about Slichus, we're talking about tshuva, we're talking about the right state of mind that a person has to be in to do tshuva, to come back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rav Yonis Naibishitz says in his Sefer Teferis Yonison, he says that when Hashem originally sent Avraham Avinu to bind his son, he didn't tell him exactly at the beginning where he was going to go, where this actual event was going to take place. He just told him that he would come back to him and reveal to him where it was. As the fact book says, Va'aleihu sham la'ila, you'll bring him up as a sacrifice, al achadorim, on one of the mountains, asher amarnech, I'll come and tell you where it is. And when Avraham Avinu heard that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was going to, again, come back and reveal himself to him a second time, near to the place where they were going, so he had to sort of stop himself, right? That he shouldn't come to be so sad that he was going to have to kill his own son. Because if he had reached the level, says Rabbi Anderson, of sadness, it would have been, he would have lost completely his divine inspiration, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu would never have been able to appear to him again as he was commanded, as he said he was going to, because Hashem wouldn't come to him if he was sad. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu then would not be able to appear to Avraham. Avraham wouldn't even know where to go for the Akedah. And therefore, by telling HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he was going to come again, Avraham knew that he had to keep himself on an even keel and not allow himself to become sad because of the impending Akedah. In fact, the Rabbeinu Ephraim also says that when Rivka Imenu wanted to know what's going on inside of her, right? There were two children fighting inside of her. Vatelech Lidreishus Hashem. She went to inquire to Hashem. Which, what did she do? She went to the yeshiva of Shem Va'ever. And of course, the obvious question is, why didn't she turn to her own husband, Yitzchak Avinu, right? Or even to her father-in-law, Avraham Avinu. They were both lies. They were both great prophets. They could have told her what to do. Says Rabbeinu Ephraim, since she was in such pain, so her father-in-law and her husband also shared her pain, were also as concerned as she was about the situation. And therefore, they didn't have the divine inspiration. They didn't have the Ruach HaKodesh, and they couldn't have answered her. The Shachal HaTorah also writes in Parshas Vayeshev that this is the reason that the Holy Shvatim brought the multicolored coat of Yosef dipped in blood to their father Yaakov in order that he should be upset, he should be sad. And through the fact that he would be sad, he wouldn't have divine inspiration and he wouldn't know what actually happened to his son Yosef. In fact, the Shach says later in Parshas Baalaiska about the words of Yeshua ben Nun. Yeshua says to Moshe Rabbeinu, right, on about Eldar and Medar who were prophesizing in the camp that Moshe Rabbeinu is going to die. And Yeshua said, Adoni Moshe Kloy Moshe, finish them off. Right, put them in jail so that they'll be sad. And there won't be able anymore to be able to say prophecy because they'll be in a state of sadness. Rabbeinu Bechaya brings down, and again in Parshas told us where Yitzchak tells his son Yaakov, he tells Esav actually, Vaseli matamim, make me tasty foods, bavur tevorach achon nafshi, so that I should be able to bless you. Now, Yitzchak obviously wasn't looking for hot cuisine in order to just sort of just have a great meal, yeah, that would be tasty. But he wanted that he should be in an exalted state of simcha and joy, because the more sensitized the physical senses are, at the same time, that raises the level of the spirituality also. In fact, as the Gemara says in Pesachim, "En Ashkina Shaira," the Shkina cannot dwell loy mitach atzlus, not when a person is being slothful and lazy, but loy mitach atzlus, not when a person is sad, ela mitach simcha, only in a state of joy. And again, he brings the pasuk about Elisha, who required musicians in order to be able to have prophecy. And for that reason, right, he kept wanting, I need to be in a state of exalted happiness so I can give a proper bracha to my son, who you thought
Esav. In fact, the Bnei Yisachar in the Sefer Aglat Zekala on the Pasuk, Vayome hine noza kanti, Yitzchak says to his son Esav, I'm old. Lo yodati yoy moisi. I don't know when I'm going to die. And he says, he wanted to give him a bracha. And he told him to bring all these beautiful, beautiful foods, right, to eat and to drink, nice things. And what's that all about, really? How does that connect to brachas at all? What does that help him or deter him from giving the brachas? He says, that is the whole way tzaddikim, the great tzaddikim, live. That the whole avodah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to be with great simcha and with a happy heart. And particularly when they want to have the divine spirit upon them, so then they make themselves feel joyful and with a full heart. Because sadness is a very, very despicable thing in their eyes. And it stops them from properly being able to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's the concept of a Sudas Mitzvah, of a joyous meal, or a meal where there are great scholars are present, because of the joy and the pleasure, the physical pleasure, that arouses also the physical, the spiritual level of a person, and he's able to come much closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So this brings us to the crux of what we're actually discussing today. Yes, of course, this time, Slichas and Rosh Hashanah and the 10 days of Tshuva and Yom Kippur are very, very serious times. Let's not understate that. We have to understand that when Rosh Hashanah comes, our lease of life is over. And we have to apply and negotiate with Hashem for Tavshin Pei Vav, that we should be given a new lease of life for the coming year. And it's serious business. And we know that, unfortunately, not everyone makes it. We can all think about many people that we are friendly with, that we knew, that were here last Rosh Hashanah, that are not here. But the point is, yes, it's a serious time, and there's a lot of work we have to do. But not to allow the great deal of work that we need to do to in any way depress us, to get us in a situation of we're now broken, I can't do this, I'm so bad, I'm so far from God. On the contrary, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us this opportunity to do tshuva, has given us this opportunity to repent, to change ourselves. And we do it with the great joy of knowing that this is what Hashem wants us to do. This is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us this time for. And we do it with great joy. We do it because we want to take advantage of the special opportunity Hashem has given us. And please God, with the help of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if we're able to marshal our strength and realize how off the road we've been and how badly we've behaved, and how we really want to come back, and we want to change the way we behave, and we want to really use this year as an opportunity to come closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to do more of the right things, then Bez Hashem will be Zeicha, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give us another year of life, another year of happiness, another year of Simcha, another year of the opportunity to do more and more mitzvahs. We'll be back in a moment with to discuss just the times for Shabbos. This is 101.9 Chai FM, the program of Soul to Soul, and this is the greatest Jewish radio station in all of Africa.
This is Hilchos Shabbos with Rabbi Moshe Schnurb, only on 101.9 Chai FM.
101.9 Chai FM, this is Soul to Soul, back on your radio. Erev Shabbos Kodesh, Parshas Ki Savoy Tov Shin Peye, just 10 days before the beginning of Rosh Hashanah, the beginning of the year, Tov Shin Pei Vav. And as we spend our last few minutes together on this Friday, we haven't had a chance yet to give you the official information, the times that you need for
this coming Shabbos. So this afternoon, the earliest time to light your Shabbos candles is 4:46. 4:46, 40 minutes before 5, which is, you know, not so long ago. It's still time, though, to get everything ready, get the house ready, get the food ready, get yourselves ready. And on the second to the last Shabbos of the year, let's take in Shabbos a bit early. Let's take the opportunity to get the week out of our heads, get it out of our mind. Let's spend some time with our family, with a good book, with something that will raise our level of spirituality, our level of awareness, and sort of morph us into the Shabbos mood, into the Shabbos atmosphere, and away from the hustle and bustle of the week. So 4:46, you can do it. The latest time for benching lich this afternoon, 5:42. 5:42 is the latest time to get it done. By that time, you have to consider everything ready, food all done on the plateau or however you heat your food, car keys away, all dressed, house all ready for Shabbos. And even though there is, yes, 18 minutes left till sunset, that again, as I always say, is just for really desperate emergencies. Someone, if he doesn't have that 18 minutes, might break Shabbos. That's one thing. But normally speaking, 5:42 is the absolute limit. 6 o'clock then is sunset, Shkia, which means if you want to make sure that you daven Ma'ariv after it's properly night, all you have to do is wait until 6:18, and then it's proper night. You can have Ma'ariv, come home, and spend a wonderful evening with family, with friends, some good food, some good talk, some good zemiras, some good divrei Torah. That's the way to spend a Friday night. Still pretty early. Still have time after the meal. You don't have to go yet for your donut shluff or bagel, whatever it's called. There's still time to learn a bit, to open a book and peruse this week's Pasha. There's so much in this week's Pasha. So take an opportunity to do that. Tomorrow, of course, we're learning Pasha's Kisavai. Pasha's Kisavai, we're almost near the end of the Torah. And of course, the Haftorah is the sixth of the seven Haftorahs of Nechama, of comfort, between Tisha B'Av and Rosh Hashanah. Of course, in the Pasha tomorrow is, of course, the terrible curses that God predicts will happen if we don't listen to the voice of Hashem. Shabbos then carries on. This week we're going to be reading chapters 3 and 4 of Pirkei Avos. And, of course, Shabbos Kodesh ends tomorrow night at 6:32. And, of course, tomorrow night or early Sunday morning, we begin saying Slichot in preparation for Rosh Hashanah. Check your local shul notice board to see when that's going to be, and make sure you're there, make sure you're involved, because that's such an important preparation for the holy Rosh Hashanah. We're going to Kabez Hashem be back next week. We'll talk a little bit about Rosh Hashanah in next week's program. Until then, I want to wish every single one of our radio family, firstly, a big, big warm thank you for joining us, and then, of course, to each and every one of you, a beautiful, refreshing, and invigorating Good Shabbos to one and all.